Hello.
How you doing, David? How's it going?
I'm very well, thank you. How you doing?
I'm good.
Hello.
Oh, Jackie's here.
Jackie's in the building. What's
Hello,
good?
Jackie. How you doing?
Hello, David.
David, I'm the host, Jeff. I'm from the Good and Bad Podcast show. So welcome.
Thank you for having me.
I'm glad you took the invitation. Now, so Jackie had, had told me about you, and she was like, I would love to have him, on the show. And she had sent me a link to a video on YouTube, and you were pretty much explaining what I guess the program called DAP is about.
Yeah,
And
2009, I used to work at DAP as a men's domestic abuse therapist. And that was actually a fundraiser. And they had people that have survived domestic violence and, either form talk about their experiences. So that's what I was doing. And I spoke for, I think they gave me 3 to 5 minutes to speak. So that's what that one was about.
Oh, okay. So now you said let me get this right. You said a therapist, right?
Well, I was a domestic abuse therapist then, but I was a domestic abuse therapist because of my experience, not because I had any degrees. So,
Oh,
but
okay.
at the time, I was a domestic abuse therapist because they needed someone for the Latino program. And because I'm bilingual, I was able to get that job, and that's what I did. So I created a curriculum to help the Latino males and females, but it was mainly males. I think I had two females the whole time I was there, right? In 5 years, create a program to help them change their idea of what domestic violence means.
Okay.
Very interesting, huh?
That is, that's, that, yeah, that is, that's real interesting. But so watching that video where you were, at that fundraiser, I was just watching that video, and I was listening, and I was intrigued, and I was just like, wow, like this guy has been, he's, you know what I mean, he's been through some stuff, you know what I mean? S some of the things that you had talked about, I was like, yo, I can relate to that. But I'll let you tell it.
What would you like to know, bro?
So, first and foremost, I wanted to, talk about how you were saying that you grew up where your father had like put that, like that label in your head, that thought in your head that you were a Mahong. Is that
My mom.
a Mamao? I said it wrong. I did, right?
Yo, wait, hold on, hold on, hold on. I'm sorry to wait. I had to laugh at this. Where the heck did you do you get Mahong, Jeff? That is so
From my mom.
funny.
Yeah. Well, check this out, right? In that video, I was talking about the abuse I, was subjected to growing up from my family. Okay, my father, my mother, many of my cousins that were trying to toughen me up, right? I would get beat up because I was Dominican, born in Boston, right? But I was one of like the first Dominicans born there, okay? Because it was in the 60s, right? Because when Dominicans came from the Dominican Republic, they go to New York. My
True.
family, went to Boston. So when I was born, growing up, I used to get beat up by African Americans because I was Latino, by whites because I was black, and by Puerto Ricans because I was Dominican, right? And at home, I didn't have any brothers or sisters. Both my brothers and sisters died, right? Well, at home, it wasn't like I didn't have any very much support. My father was militant, right? And because he used to think I was soft, he would call me Mamao. And the definition of Mamao is like an idiot. Understand? Somebody that's weak, a Mamao, like a doofus kind of dude, right? So at a very young age, I had this idea of me, of what I, what I was, right? So I tried to prove myself, okay, many times in the eyes of my father, but it never worked. You know, it didn't work because my father wasn't the kind of dude to get impressed by the kind of stuff that I did. You understand?
Yeah.
So that's kind of like what that story was about. You know, like I was subjected to a lot of abuse at home, and I was subjected to a lot of abuse on the streets, too. You know, at home. Well, my grandmother didn't like me because I was black, even though she was darker than me. My father used to talk garbage about people of color, you know. So I grew up very. I grew up hating me and hating being Dominican. You know, I hated being Dominican.
Yeah. You know,
and it was like, it's not cool, because back in those days there wasn't no mentorship programs. You know, there wasn't like if you get beat down and you come in with, because my father, I remember one time he hit me with a hammer. Now let me clarify something. My father wasn't a bad person, okay? My father had a stern way of raising me because he was raised without his father. So he didn't know what he was doing, neither did my mother. So what I'm saying isn't because my father was a bad person, but I got hit in the face with a hammer one time by my dad. You know what I mean? And it's like, damn, you know? I couldn't bring people of color into my house. My father was darker than me. He used to talk garbage about dark people. You understand?
Wow. And
it was a really tough upbringing, you know? And when I remember that I went to high school and I became really good at basketball, because the only sport you could play by yourself was basketball, right? So me growing up, nobody wanted to play with me. I played basketball because it was the only sport, right? So when I went to school, I was really good, okay? And I shined in basketball in Boston, right? The problem was that I didn't have any, like, family support. So you look out into the stands, right, and you're playing varsity freshman year starting, right, grabbing rebounds, scoring shots, you know, dunking, doing all this as a freshman, right? And everybody has family members there, but you ain't got nobody because you don't play baseball, because you're Dominican. You're supposed to play baseball. You understand? So my sophomore year, it was like effort, man. I'm not doing this either. Like, I made the paper my sophomore year, man. You know what? I was doing really good my sophomore year. And for some reason, like, I still couldn't get support. I remember my father came and my uncle to one game. It was the last game of my freshman year. And they sat down and I missed a shot and they got up and left.
Wow.
So it was like, you know, and then all around me, all the messages that I'm receiving, because I was a good student, but every message that I'm receiving, right, is that, you know, the tough guys are the ones that get the praise from everyone. You understand? So my cousin got arrested. He got all this attention. You know, the dudes that were selling drugs and doing drugs and stealing cars and beating people down and carrying guns, man, damn, they were so popular. You understand? And I remember my high school girlfriend left me for a bad boy. And I was like, wow, man, you got to be kidding me. You know what I mean? So it was like everything was put in place. I actually had a conversation with somebody about today that, you know, this person was telling me, like, everybody has choices. Look at me, you know. And I'm like, really? You know, if you grow up, you know, if you grab a dog and you raise him, and cats raise a dog, he's going to be meowing, period.
Yeah.
You understand? No matter, he still has, you know, he's still a dog, you understand? But that dog is going to meow if he's raised by cats. And that's what happened with me, man. You know, like, at the age of 17, man, I started doing drugs, and I took off. You understand? I took off. Like, I for the first time in my life, I felt like a man. I got arrested the first time, I felt like a man. I have arrived. Now everybody's going to, like, you know, think that I'm really cool too. And the thing about it was that I started to get praise on the streets because people started being scared of me. Right. And it was like, you know, and then the movie Scarface comes out and it destroyed me because I had no identity. You understand?
Yeah. Wow.
Scarface comes out and it tells me, oh, this is what you're supposed to be. And I remember at that age, okay, that I had this idea that I was going to bring, okay, a boatload of heroin from Burma. That was my dream. F college, you understand? I need a bunch of women in my life because I'm Dominican, right? I need a BMW because I'm Dominican. I need to play baseball because I'm Dominican, but I never played baseball until I got to prison. You understand?
Yeah.
So basically, that was my upbringing, and I spent 17 years in that lifestyle. You know what I mean? And I learned nothing between the first, in the first 34 years of my life, I learned nothing.
Man, that's crazy. Now, so now when you got 17 and you said, you got arrested and you felt like a man. Now, did you get on a good, terms with your dad? Did he give you praise? Like, was the relationship good? Like, how did that work out?
No, I got attention. My dad stopped dealing with me when I started using drugs. My dad wanted nothing to do with me. Nothing whatsoever. Like, I let him down. See, my dad, like most people, don't understand something, man. You know, our children don't do what we tell them, and they do what we do, period.
True.
You understand?
It's true.
So we have this idea that we're good parents, right? But somebody calls back in the day, and the first thing that you say, tell them I'm not here. So you're planting a seed of being a liar to your kid. You understand?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So your kid starts lying, and then you're like, damn, where did this kid learn this from? Okay? You teach your children, right, that especially being Dominican, that if you have a bunch of women, that you are cool. But if you're a girl and you got more than one boy, then you're a prostitute. Tú eres una puta.
Yep.
Do you understand?
Yep, true.
We teach our children, and then we wonder why they can't have successful relationships, right? That it's okay for the man to have a bunch of women, right? And for the man to run the house, but the woman is supposed to, succumb to whatever the man wants, even if the man is abusive. And then we wonder why our children are not in a healthy relationship ever. We yell at our children, and then we wonder why our children are angry. You understand? We don't give them any ability to communicate what they're taught, what they're feeling. You understand? If you cry, you're not supposed to cry because, men don't cry. This is the kind of messages I received growing up. So logically, I don't know if I can swear on here.
Yeah, you can.
But that's why I grew up so fucked up. You understand?
Yeah.
And then consequences of me growing up fucked up were, the hostages that the women I had in my life, they were my hostages, right? And they gave me...
Elaborate on that a little more, your hostages.
My disease, right, of not being healthy in any way, right? Any woman that paid attention to me back in the day became my hostage. Any woman. You understand? Guys don't understand that when you get a woman, especially a woman with low self-esteem, right, and you're an abusive person, okay, and that woman comes from an abusive household, right, and all that woman wants to do is to be accepted, right, and somebody to tell them that they matter, right? But you, as a man, before you get to sex, you're telling them how beautiful, how sexy. You're telling them everything beautiful about themselves. You're giving them flowers, and you're treating them like queens, right? But as soon as you get some, okay, and you start, feeling like this is mine, and you start treating them like pieces of garbage, right? If that woman stays, that woman's your hostage.
Good point.
And I had a lot of those.
That's a new way of, well, not a new way, but to me, like, to hear that is like, and it's kind of true, you're hostage. Because and let's go back to, remember, I was in a domestic violence relationship for many years, and it did, now that you say that, it did feel like I was a hostage, because and again, this guy's an abuser. kind of like, and it's interesting to hear you speak, right? Because, you know, a lot of the, you know, I obviously my ex, like, it's kind of like the same cycle. It's always violence. It's always like, not always, but a lot of the times, men or women who are abusers start with being abused themselves.
Yep, you
know? That is true.
So I never saw, I did see myself now that, you know, as a hostage, like I would think about how I'm going to leave, when I'm going to leave. Oh my God, when I leave this relationship, you know, but on the flip side, I'll be like, you know, oh, I'm in love, or I love this man. Like, it was so, it's a hostage situation, because what you do when you kidnap somebody, well, I don't know how to kidnap anybody, but what I heard, you know, you start with the mind, you know?
Yeah.
So that's just interesting to hear like that. That's why I wanted to like elaborate on that a little more.
Yeah. So, you know, so you said, so David, you said you had a lot of them. You had a lot of hostages.
Oh yeah. And I didn't know, you know, it's funny. I had a conversation with somebody today, you know, like it's sad. It's sad that, the first 34 years of my life, I didn't learn anything. And in order for me to become the man that I am today, I had to come to a place in my life where I had to accept that I didn't know anything. Do you understand? Because yeah. a lot of people, it's next to impossible for them to change because they continue to rely on this old information, you know? And until you let go of that old information, you're not going to learn anything new. So what happened with me was at the age of 34, I realized, man, that I didn't know shit. And I said to myself, you know, like, I can't kill myself. I can't even kill myself because I tried 3 times, right? Well, I tried a lot more than 3 times, right? Like, I did some shit that was just crazy. Like, literally, I went from Mattapan Square, right? Down Mattapan Square, okay, Blue Hill Avenue, starting at Mattapan Square, okay, and I did about 37 robberies between, in about 2 hours, from Mattapan Square all the way down to Dudley and Blue Hill, right? And 3 days later, I went back.
Damn.
Because I wanted someone to kill me, man, because my I was thinking so messed up that I thought I'm going to go out that way. You know what I mean? Because I can't kill myself, so let somebody else kill me, right? And took a box of Decon rat poison in 2002, ate 17 Valium and Percocets, half a liter of vodka on April 5th, 2003. You understand? And a week later is when I realized I was watching TV, right? And I saw this program on TV about Sigmund Freud. And I admired Sigmund Freud because he was the father of psychology, right?
Yeah.
Well, the father of psychology, right, study of human behavior, he has to be good, right? He has money, property, and prestige, which is what society tells us you're supposed to have to be successful, right?
True.
And on April 12, 2003, I learned that Sigmund Freud was a drug addict, right? And I learned that Sigmund Freud had, I think it was 16 throat operations because he used to smoke about 8 to 10 cigars a day. You understand? And that's when I realized that what I've learned in life about what it means to be successful is a lie. And that's when I realized, man, I don't know shit. You understand? And I surrendered and I went out and I went to treatment. You understand? And I stopped believing all the bullshit inside of my head. And I allowed myself to become teachable. So I learned around the age of 35 that I wasn't gay. You understand? Because I had been told when I was 6, when I was molested, that it was my fault. So I grew up between the ages of 6 and 35 thinking that I'm a homosexual. You understand? And at the age of 35, because I allowed myself to learn something new, I learned, no, you're not gay because you got molested at 6. It's not a 6-year-old's fault that he got molested. And I got pissed at my parents. But then I realized a little bit later that my parents just didn't know. They just didn't know. You understand?
Yeah.
Who teaches you? Is there anyone out there, any classes out there that teach you, prepare you for when your kids get molested, or when one of your kids gets raped, or if one of your children gets murdered, or if your child becomes a drug dealer, or if your child goes to jail? Who teaches you what to do?
You don't. So when No one.
So when I learned that, I'm like, okay. So it wasn't their fault. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to break the cycle, period. And that's what I've been doing ever since the age of 35 was when I made a decision. I'm going to break not only the cycle in me, I'm going to break. And I got clean at a time where I was able to rescue my son. You understand? I was able to rescue my son. Went to jail the first time at the age of 9. He started smoking weed when he was 7. So he had me beat by 10 years with the weed smoke. He had me beat by 8 years with the going to jail. You understand? Because this is what he learned from me. So when I got clean and when I started learning new information and letting go of this misinformation, I was able to rescue my son. And not only my son, man, I've been able to like help a lot of people. And I'm not saying this to like, you know, brag or to, you know, because I'm not going to take too much of the credit, because I believe there was divine intervention. I believe it had shit to do with me other than that I just surrendered. And I believe divine intervention took over and did something for me that I could never do for myself. And now I'm being used, and I've been being used for the past 17 years to make a difference in my society. And I've been doing a really good job at it, puppy.
Wow.
Good.
Yeah,
man.
For real.
I'm telling you, Jeff, I told you, I was like, we have to get David on a podcast, and one of many upcoming, hopefully, podcasts, because, you know, we need to hear, and you know me, I'm like one, I like to talk real, you know what I mean? But also, some people are not ready to tell their story, but damn what they do. And when they have overcome, like myself, you know what I mean? Like, that's why I share, but I don't loosely share. I share when I'm ready, when I know that, you know, I've healed from certain areas, you know, because there's power. You take the power away.
Yeah, you do.
From that, you know what I mean? So that's basically like, and someone told me the other day, because I posted something on Facebook, and I got really pissed off to the point that today I was still pissed off. It was like 2 weeks ago, and the Scorpio in me was like, keep going with it. But so the person was like, why are you airing all your business? Something like what Dave is doing. Why are you telling your business? Why are you sharing? And I'm like, yo, it's not about me. You know what I mean? Because I could live with this and keep going. It's about it is about me, you know, but it's about how you able to touch somebody else. And you know what I mean? Through your story, your walk and sharing. And I'll tell you the truth. Like, I even had two women contact me and were like, you know, I can identify, you know, one was out of the relationship and another one was still in a relationship struggling, you know, so that's an open door already to be able to not get her out. Cause I was 21 years deep into violence, domestic violence. But just let her know that there's hope, you know, and I put a before picture of myself because I found that picture and I was shocked. And I cried that day for hours when I saw that picture. Actually, I think I talked to you that day, Jeff, in the morning, as I was like, I was overwhelmed. Like, I was just like, yo, this is where I was. This is how I see it. I saw everything through the eyes of that picture. And then I was like, you know what? Let me grab a now, you know, because I want people to see the now and I want people to see the difference. Obviously, the difference is huge. But all people also have walked with me through all these years. So thank you, David, for continue to share your story, you know, for just sharing, because that's not easy. It's not easy.
No, that's not easy at all. So, I mean, I want to say thank you definitely for sharing that too. But one of the questions that I have for you, David, is so how old is your son right now?
I'm here, puppy.
Say it again.
What did you say?
I said, how old is your son right now?
My son's 28, and my daughter's 30.
All right, so you have a 28 and a 28-year-old son and a 30-year-old daughter. So
yep.
Raising them, and you said your son obviously had already had you, you know, beat with the, you know, I guess you said going to jail and smoking weed, right? So
yeah, and doing drugs and committing crimes.
And committing crimes. So now, how did you? Okay, so not so much how did you, but so you basically told your story why it is, you know, that you started doing drugs and why you started, you know, committing crimes, because, you know, you were basically like, I'm, you know, you wanted to have an identity and earn that respect and get that attention. So why do you think it was that your son got into that? Because I mean, I'm just guessing that you weren't obviously raising him the same way your father raised you.
Oh. I wasn't raising my son.
Oh, you weren't.
I was in and out of his life, right? And the few times, well, I was in and out. I was a positive influence on him, in a sense, okay. But you know, in reality, I really wasn't a positive influence, okay? Because even though when I got out of prison in 1997. Right. I stopped kind of like sort of selling drugs, but I still was practicing in really negative behaviors. Right. So my son would have like a bunch of women trying to buy him so that they can get to the dad. Right. And I didn't realize at that time, because I still was living off of the idea that because I'm Dominican, I'm supposed to have a bunch of women and I'm going to teach my son how to be a player. You understand? And I was doing my son an injustice. I didn't know that, right? So that's one of the things my son learned, right? My son learned from me and from his family drug use, okay? My son learned from the streets. He learned drug use also, but he also learned criminal behavior. He learned the identity. See, one of the things that we haven't, you know, like us as a society, I don't know what complexion you are, right? Or who, you know, what race you identify with, right? But I'm going to tell you like this, right? One of the things that saddens me, okay, is that no one is doing anything, all right, about the condition that my son and people like of color, and I'm talking color, by when I say color, I'm talking Asian, Latino, and black, right? Nobody's talking about really what's going on and what the solution is. Nobody's doing that. Everybody's like jumping around thinking that they know what we need to do, right? So that garbage is happening right now in Minnesota, right? To be honest with you, right? Like, I feel bad because, in fact, the guy that got murdered, I know him. And I'm getting to what my son's condition, right? Because even if I would have been a pastor, my son growing up in the system that he grew up in, my son was destined to fail. Okay? And a high percentage of men of color in the United States are destined to fail. Okay? It's the system is set up for them to fail. Period. Okay? Now, nobody's talking about that. Nobody's like, we're talking about, okay, a police officer is killing an individual. Right? A white police officer is killing a black man. And everybody's rioting and talking shit. And this guy needs to be arrested. Okay, he gets arrested. What changes? And then people want to blame Donald Trump. It's Donald Trump. Listen, we had Obama for 8 years. Nothing has changed. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And until we realize that shit, that we as a people have to change, nothing's going to change. Now, I'm going to go deep, and I hope anybody listening doesn't get offended what I'm about to say, okay? 2009 or 10, I'm at a club, okay? And a dude bumps into me, and I turn around, And he says, excuse me. I says, cool. 15 minutes later, somebody else bumps into me. I turn around. The guy says, excuse me. I say, cool. But I touched my wallet. What color do you think the first person was?
The first person that bumped into you?
Yeah.
I'm going to say he was black.
He was white, bro. The first person that bumped into me was white.
Oh, wow.
The second person that bumped into me was black. And when I realized what I had done, when I realized my reaction, I left the club and I sat in my car and I started to cry. And I, because, you know, I had realized something, that I became my father. I became my grandmother. And I started doing a study. In fact, that was my paper in college, right? I started to figure out and learn, why did I do that? You know, why do I hate me? Why do I hate people that look like me, right? And I started to, you know, like research my past and, you know, my father, my grandmother. I started to learn that in the Dominican Republic, when my father was growing up, there was this president dictator called Trujillo, and Trujillo was white and his family was white, and they used to treat people of color bad, right? I started to do some research and I started to look at videos, and I saw this video, A Girl Like Me, right? And I also saw another video about the Brown study of the 1940s, right? And by the Clarks, where they took a doll, a white doll and a black doll, and they put some toddlers, and they had these toddlers pick which doll is good and which doll is bad, right? If anybody listening wants to look at this, they can look at it. It's called A Girl Like Me, right? And it's on YouTube, right? And I saw that and I started to cry and I started to wonder, why, man? Why do we not like who we are? Why? I have an excuse, right? I have an excuse because everything I went through, but it, you know, the excuse that I thought I had is deeper than what it was. And I look around me and I'm like, oh shit, we're struggling. Why don't we riot when 40 people of color kill each other in Chicago?
Yeah.
In California, in New York, in Detroit, every major city in the United States, people of color are killing people of color. And nobody's talking about that shit. True. We get mad when a white cop kills a black person. But the thing is, what we don't see, that black cops are also killing black people. Latinos are killing black people. Black people are killing Latinos. Like, we don't like each other. And nobody's talking about that shit. Nobody's rioting. Nobody's holding their politicians accountable with that shit. Nobody. You understand? But here we go. We're not rioting when we look at, okay, that 60% of men incarcerated in the United States are black.
Yep.
Nobody riots about that shit. And we make up 16% of the U.S. population, and nobody talks about that shit. It's like all these educated people that go to school to get their PhDs of color, right? When they get their PhDs, the first thing that they do is move away from their people, and they move in with Caucasians.
Yep.
And about 70% of them don't date a black woman. They date a white woman because we don't like black women, because we want to clean our race. Mm. And nobody talks about that shit. Nobody talks about the sports, like the figures that our little kids are looking up to, right? That they're teaching our young people that when you become successful, you leave your people. We're not writing about that shit right there.
This is true, man. This is true.
It really is.
This is why I'm so careful. And I posted something and I took it down because I was just like, I don't want to be like, I want the type of change that I want to see is like in the heart, right? Like, I just don't want to be like, I don't know, man. Yo, you talking some real shit. Some real shit, real talk. Real talk.
No, that is, you know what I mean? That's definitely the, that's, it's the truth. And it, but you know what the problem is? Yo, majority of these people, they don't want to hear the truth. You know what I'm saying? They don't want to hear the, they don't want to hear the truth at all. Like, they, so like, I saw a video not too long ago, and it was, you know, it was probably in New York, I think it was. And, you know, these group of black, you know, dudes are getting, you know, arrested by, you know, these cops. This one black dude pulls out his phone, and he's like walking up on the cop. Now this, you know, this other cop, you know, he's one of those like, you know, detectives or something, plain clothes, but he has on like, you know, the bulletproof vest, you know, saying police. He's like, yo, back up, back up. The cop is like, back up. You know what I mean? And then the dude with the camera's like, yo, I could, you know what I mean? Yo, freedom of speech. I can do this. And he's like, yo, back up. And he goes, what you, he goes, and he's like, stop flexing. What you going to do? What you going to, you going to run up on me? Stop flexing. And then he grabs the black dude. Now the cop is Latin. He's, you know, he's a Latino. He grabs the black dude, slams him to the ground, and slaps him off the back of his head. And then, you know, all you hear is a reaction like, yo, yo, what's up? Yo, you know, what's up with that? Yo, that's unnecessary and all that. But guess what? You didn't hear about, you didn't hear about that, you know, on like social media. You didn't really hear them rioting like, yo, this cop needs to be, you know, fired. You didn't hear none of that. But nothing. But, you know, the cop who killed, the white cop who killed the, you know, the black guy, you know, you're right. You're hearing the all about the rioting and the protest and all that. It's so true. And Dave, like you said, you know what I mean? That all that starts, you know what I mean, with us. Like, you hear about it every day. As a matter of fact, I was just reading today that there was like a shooting out there in Lynn. You know what I'm saying? Like four people got shot. And I think like one person died. Like every day I hear about new killing, and it's always, you know, the same colors, you know, black shooting blacks, but you don't hear any protests or rioting about that. That's so true. And so
every, go ahead. Sorry.
So no, that's right. So like in your, so, you know, like, why do you think that is? Do you think, is it just because of the fact that blacks are just racist against, you know, against white people? Why do you think that is, Dave?
It's because we were conditioned that way.
True, very true.
We were conditioned. Like I, like I said, I wrote a paper in college, and I actually created a curriculum around that, right? And when I speak in prisons, that's one of the things I talk about, because, you know, before a change can happen, right, we need to start being proud of our complexion. We have to wake up from the lies, right, about what color means. You know, we have to wake up from this dream state that we're in. We have to wake up from the smoke screen. You understand? Because as long as we're sleeping, okay, the rich and powerful just become more rich and powerful, right? As long as we don't have a leader, because that's the problem today. We don't have a leader. See, in the 60s, we had a leader. We had Martin Luther King. We had Malcolm X, right? We had a lot of people that did stuff the right way. You understand? Yeah. We don't have a leader to organize us. You understand? To give us direction. You understand? We have Black Lives Matter, but Black Lives Matter, in my opinion, sorry, I don't want to offend anybody, Black Lives Matter is a bunch of bullshit, because the people that are doing Black Lives Matter have no agenda, in my opinion. You understand? They're not asking for shit. And trust me, I was in Minnesota when they shut down 94. I was on 94, okay? And I was like on the road, on highway. I was there. I wasn't there because I wanted to be there. I was there because my stepdaughter was there. And I went to support her because I didn't want her getting hurt. But I really didn't believe in their agenda, because you're not giving me something to do. You're just throwing rocks and shutting down a highway. We're not asking for anything. You're saying Black Lives Matter. And then what? What do we get?
It's true.
Yeah. And okay, so So the problem is deep, that we don't have any leaders today, right? And when we do get a leader, we don't support that leader, because the modern Martin Luther King is Colin Kaepernick. Do you understand? And I'm going to tell you like this again. I hope I don't offend anybody. Anyone that watched football when Colin Kaepernick got on his knee and they didn't hire him again, any person of color that continued to watch football should be ashamed of themselves. I quit watching football for 2 years, and the Patriots went to the Super Bowl, and I'm a Patriots fan, and I didn't watch that shit. Because Colin Kaepernick took a knee for people like me. Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah.
And when I would hear people of color watching football and Colin Kaepernick can't get a job because he got on his knees for me, I felt ashamed at my people.
That's real talk.
Yeah,
Colin Kaepernick should have been our modern day Martin Luther King. We should have stood behind him. Like people stood behind Martin Luther King in Selma, and we did not stand behind a person that could have led us into somewhere else where we would start dealing with all this bullshit that's going on. We didn't support him. So right now we lack leadership, because all the people with money, okay, they're not messing with the root cause of what's going on. LeBron James, a leader. He made a school in Cleveland. Okay? LeBron James can carry the torch, okay, where Colin Kaepernick left it. Okay? The Oprah Winfrey. There's a bunch of people of color that are very successful that can become our modern day leaders and teach us where to go. Listen, the slaves, okay, the slaves in Egypt would never have left without Moses, okay? We would never vote and have what we have today without Martin Luther King. Today we need a leader to start dealing with these issues. Do you understand? To start putting pressure on politicians. Do you understand? Start putting pressure on politicians. See, us, if we get together, if a leader gets us together, right, and teaches us, don't vote for the fucking hype. Vote for the person that's going to do something for you. Don't vote for the hype. Fuck Trump. Fuck Democrats. Fuck them all. We are together. We are a force to be reckoned with. See, but the powers that be don't want that to happen. As long as we're killing each other, you understand? We will never unite, and we will continue to make the rich and powerful more rich and powerful. Do you understand?
Yeah.
And then distractions, because, you know, we are distracted with focusing and viewing, seeing only the black and white. That's a distraction right there. Like that's where they even got us all fucked up in that sense. You know what I mean?
You want another distraction?
Yep.
Fucking Jordans.
That's the truth.
Listen,
that's the truth. Yo.
Oh, no.
That's the truth.
Yo, B. Jordans are a fucking distraction. Clothing is a distraction. Listen. $2,000 rims on a $200 car is a fucking distraction. Okay? Distractions is what we get every day. But because we don't have a leader, okay, no one is telling our young people that it's wrong to wear $3,000 worth of clothing while you're taking the bus and while you're $100,000 in child support debt. Nobody's telling people shit about that. Nobody's talking about that. Do you understand?
True.
And then the people that know, you know what they're doing? They're wearing Jordans too. Instead of our young, instead of us, guys like you, women like Jackie, going into the schools, man, and creating a curriculum to start teaching our young people to start loving each other. We need to start, We need to start grooming politicians, y'all. We need to start grooming politicians. We need to start teaching our young people to be educated, man. We need to start teaching people that the word snitch, okay, is fucked up. I'm a snitch because I don't want you selling drugs in my fucking neighborhood. I'm a snitch. Seriously?
Seriously.
I can't protect my neighborhood. Okay? So that the property values go down because I'm considered a snitch, man. Really? And that's what our young people think. But if people like us, right? If people listening to this start getting together, every city, get some people together, man. Go to the fucking PTA meetings. Start complaining to your fucking politicians. Tell them we refuse to continue to put up with this shit. Do you understand? We refuse. Listen, in order for us to get what we got, the powers, the leaders from the past, the Martin Luther Kings, I don't know if you guys know this, right? I imagine you do. Do you know what they did to get what they got? It wasn't just marching. It was boycotting.
Yep, yep.
You understand? If you get a leader to say, listen, let's boycott, okay? For example, what's the name of that chicken place that supports racism? Fucking Chick-fil-A.
Chick-fil-A.
Okay, let's boycott.
Hit their pocket.
Let's boycott Chick-fil-A. Let's start boycotting different shit until we start getting their support. Do you know how much money we spend, we put into the economy? Do you think that if we started grabbing that money and putting it into ourselves, that we wouldn't get politicians and the people in power's attention? They'll be like, oh shit, they're waking up.
Yeah.
You understand? Yep. Listen. Shaquille O'Neal created a sneaker brand. And he sold them for $35. And I bought them for my son. And he got mad at me.
Because they weren't Jordans.
That cost $150. Do you get what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
What does Jordan do for the African American community? Tell me.
Nothing. Nothing at all.
Okay. So why?
Take their money.
Why are we buying Jordans? Do you understand what I mean? So, it's not everything that I'm saying is going to get lost in the air, because until we find somebody with some nuts, man or woman, to wake up, right, and start to say, listen, let's do this. Let's start, okay, here. In fact, there's a school called Highlander. You guys should research that, right? Back in the 60s, okay, in 70s, Highlander helped the cause, okay? Highlander taught, okay, social activism. They taught, it was a curriculum. You understand? They helped with getting unions and getting and teaching people. See, because and one of the things they taught was you need a leader. You can't have 50 people trying to complete one project. You can't have 50 people doing one project. You need one person to look for the strengths amongst the other 49 so that the project can get done. But until that person gets up, man, and starts, you know, putting people together, we will always be rioting. We will always be getting killed. And we're going to continue to struggle.
This is true. This is 100.
Real talk. For real. But you know what the crazy part about that is, right? If I were to go and put this out there to like the people that I know who love Jordan so much, they would just say I'm hating.
It's all how you say it as well. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if you say. I think if Puppy, you say it just Puppy, like that. It's Puppy, like, how can you argue that?
Puppy, the truth of the matter is that's kind of like sort of true. right? But no offense to you, my brother, because I have mad respect for what you're doing with this podcast, right? Teaching people the truth, right? I'll tell you like this, though. If Martin Luther King, right, would have thought like that, we'd still be fucked.
Truth. That's true.
You understand what I mean? Like I can imagine you as a hustler. I know Jackie's a hustler.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
I'll tell you like this. A hustler has the ability, right, to convince an Eskimo to buy a fucking ice, right?
Ice.
Yep.
They're talking about a hustler, especially if you got any kind of spirituality in your life. See, I want to tell you, in my case, it's God, right? I got God in my life. You dig? And if I got God in my life, right, and I'm hustling for the right reasons, God got my back, bro. You dig what I'm talking about? I'll tell you like this. It's true. Some people might mock you, right? But damn, a lot of people mocked Jesus. You dig?
True.
2,000 years later, he's still the most influential person that has ever walked on the earth. You dig? And a lot of people mocked him. You can't be afraid of being mocked, man. In order to be a good hustler, you can't be afraid of people saying no. You dig what I'm talking about? You just got to set it up in a way where you don't allow them. You got to talk so fast that by the time they wake up, they ain't got Jordans on their feet. But listen, I'm talking about Jordans as an example. It might not start that big. It might just start, right, in creating in your neighborhood, okay, a class where you start teaching young people this information. You show them the video, A Girl Like Me, and you have a discussion about it. It's that simple. Do you understand?
You know what's interesting?
Go ahead.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, David, but you know what's interesting, though, too? Like, I work with children. You work with the youth, Jeff. You know what I mean? And I was studying psychology to deal with a dog, because I thought that I wanted to sit down and just sit there and tell people, you know what? No, it's not that way. It's this way. Then I was like, oh, hell no. I'm going to go work with children because there's hope there. You know what I mean? Because not only there's hope, there's happy. Well, not there's happiness. Because even like the most hurtful kid, if you can, you know, if you love them, and I've seen this at the library as a children librarian, like love has made that, has transformed that room. Not even me, but through me, like showing them love. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's what I have to say about that.
Wait.
Jeff is a referee. That's where I was going with this. Jeff is a referee. Like many games, like dope too. I've gone to see him. So you already have the access to the youth. You already have the information. I already have the information. You know what I mean? Like we already have the power.
Oh yeah. And I've been in, you know, and ever since I got into the whole officiating, you know, like, you know, being a referee, I've been trying to, you know, school the youth on, you know, like many things. The problem is, it's two problems. Number one, you know, the whole, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. And number
not two, all of them. Let me, not all of them.
Not all of them. You're right. Not all of them. And the second thing is, you know, when I start doing that, then you have, you know, like certain people that's like, hey, listen, you're here to ref. You know what I mean? Don't get into the whole, you know, what they say, propaganda.
You have to see it bigger than that, Jeff, though. Like, for example, I wanted to, you know, I was younger. I wanted to have, well, I was a young mom, but a mom's group. Nobody could tell me that I couldn't have a mom's group, that I didn't have their experience. I'm going to have this fucking mom's group. I don't know shit. I was a really young and brand new mom. But guess what? I had this mom's group and I started at my home. Actually, it was from a job getting different women, but I couldn't do that there. I couldn't have my own stuff. I had to go by the guidelines of that place. So I took it to my home. And I'm not saying take it to your home. I'm saying take it outside of that. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like,
create what a...
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm way ahead of you on that one. And the reason why I say that is because I had a rate... Because you know how I told you ever since the pandemic and we've been, you know, like, you know, staying inside. You know, I told you I've been reading and writing in my book, ideas. One of the ideas, and I can show it to you, it's dated and everything, was me starting, you know, like a men's group. Well, you know, for the boys, for the teenagers. You know what I mean? Starting a group and just
mentorship.
Yeah, and just schooling them. Like we, you know, get together once a week and just schooling them on everything and anything possible. And you know, and I'm talking about everything and anything, not just racism and everything. Like how to, you know what I mean? Like how to love themselves, how to carry themselves, like how to have meaningful relationship with girls or women. Like one of the biggest things that I've noticed, you know what I mean? And I used to be, you know, part of that problem too, is being with a girl or woman, getting that girl or woman pregnant. And then for some reason, the relationship just collapsed. And now it's either they turn their back on their responsibility or it's, oh, well, she doesn't want me to see my child. So now I'm fighting. I'm going to court. I got to pay child support. Like, teaching them how, you know what, that could have all been avoided. So, yeah, I trust me on that as doing it. But then, you know, like I said, the quarantine hit. But that's still in the plans. Absolutely.
Good.
And just, you know, and Dave, just, you know, David, just getting all this information from you and hearing, you know, what you've been through is just, it's even more, it lights even more of a fire, like, you know what I mean? Like, you know, under my ass to like really, you know.
Can I give you a suggestion, Puppy?
Absolutely.
Create a business plan of what you want to accomplish. Create a mission statement, all right? Create, do you know about business plans?
Absolutely.
Okay, create a business plan on what you want to accomplish, all right? Start it. And the people that graduate or complete your curriculum, create it. You're going to have to create a curriculum, right? Because with the curriculum, you're going to have a semblance of order. You understand? So it's just not going to go anywhere. It's going to follow a pattern, right? And create a curriculum, business plan, mission statement, all that, right? Then do it for about 3 months to 6 months. And the people that complete, have them continue it and move on to another project. That's how we're going to become. That's how we're going to start making a difference. Not that you need money to do it. You got to inspire people to do it for change, because there's not going to be any money. You understand? Make sure that when you create your business plan, right, that as it's taking off, you have a plan in there. So once you can apply for a grant for it, you understand? So now you can get money for food. Now you can get money for copies and all that stuff. What ends up happening is now it starts to grow and to get bigger. But you have to understand that when you put together your board of directors, you have to pick a board of directors that can make it grow, but they can also keep it honest so it doesn't become ever about the money. You understand? Like, I am a member of an anonymous group, right? And we have some traditions in the anonymous group. And the traditions are put in place in a way where it's never about becoming wealthy. It's about making a difference. Do you understand? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so if you absolutely. Keep all, if you can see, because right now there's monies in African-American communities, Latino communities, Asian communities, right? There's monies to do a bunch of things. The problem is everybody's at everybody's throat. You understand? One of the most cutthroat things that I've seen in the nonprofit sector is the minority organizations fighting against each other. Do you understand?
Yep. And this is so true.
And the thing is, you know, the people that get lost in the fight are clients. You understand? Like, you have a director making like $150,000 a year, and they only in the office like 10 hours a week.
Yeah.
But you have a counselor that's there 60 hours a week making $30,000 a year. You understand? And you can't, there's certain programs that you can't, you know, that you can't like develop inside of the program because the director's making $150,000 a year. You understand? So the money of the people that's there to help the people is going in the pockets of a few. And that happens to function nonprofits. And again, if I'm offending anyone that's listening to this, yo, I'm sorry. But if you know this is going on and you're staying quiet, you are part of the problem, period. Yep. You understand? So basically, you know, you have to have people that start holding these people accountable because the government is giving money. We just don't know what to do with it. You think, yep. We don't know what to do with it. And that's another problem. So if you're going to start this, right, that's where you start. You understand? Create yourself a business plan, but make sure that you create a business plan, right, that you create a board of directors, that you create all these, you know, statutes that are gonna govern the board of directors. Make sure you do it in a way that doesn't allow it to become toxic for our people, so that the mission stays the same all throughout. And if we start doing that in a lot of different communities all throughout the United States, and we start teaching parents how to be parents, we start teaching minorities, okay, not to buy a $300 car and put $2,000 rims on them. You understand? We start teaching them, you know, that don't go to Target to buy food when you can go to Aldi's.
Yep.
Do you understand what I mean? Don't grab your don't go and because you have a note 6, you understand? Get a note 10 on a welfare check. Do you understand what I mean? Right.
Yeah, so we can do.
Because you know, we criticize people that do that, but the thing is, you don't know what you don't know until somebody teaches it to you. And the people that know this stuff ain't teaching it. Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So, mm-hmm. So that's what you do. You see, you like Highlander teaches these things. They taught the movement these things. You understand that if you're going to do something, you have to be organized in doing it. You have to start convincing people to become part of this solution. Everybody wants to do something. If you go out into the community with that mind frame that everybody wants to do something, you understand? Everybody. The problem is they need to see other people doing it. Do you understand? See, one of the things I'm really good at, I was real good at this in Minnesota, was fundraisers. Making money for people, making money for a good cause. I'm really good at that, right? And like I'll raise $10,000, $15,000 in a week, right? Because I go into a place with the mind frame that I know people want to help. I know that there's something I can tell this person that's going to convince them, okay, to have a fear of God. And if you could put the fear of God in them, they're going to come out their pockets. Do you understand what I mean? So you go into it just like that, but you have to have a plan. You have to. So what you're doing, yeah. Cool. What you're doing is cool. But right now, because we got the pandemic, sit down, man. Get together with a couple of people. Get together with Jackie and some other people. Create a business plan. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Create a business plan. Start. Jackie knows a bunch of people and start putting together a board of directors. Sell them your idea. Do you understand? Papi, you could be that leader. You could be that leader, let's suppose. You could be the one, right, that starts this process. And it starts small.
True. True, absolutely. I'm more motivated now just from having this conversation than I was.
I'm writing my mission statement.
Than I was. My notes. Yeah, like the whole time he was talking and saying all that, I was already coming to, you know, coming up with the, you know, trying to come up with the business plan and, like you said, the mission statement. So, you know, this is like big time motivation. So, you know, Jackie, I want to, first and foremost, Jackie, thank you for this. You know what I mean? Thank you for, you know, bringing, you know, bringing him in this to, you know, to my attention. But like, so Dave, if people wanted to, like, you know, get a hold of you, wanted to, you know, like, you know, like talk to you or whatever, like, how can they do that? Do you have social media or anything?
Yeah, I got Facebook, David Marambo. I'm the one with the black hat. I got two. I got two David Marambo accounts. So the one with the black hat, or give people my number, 857-707-5600. Man, I do interventions. If there's anybody listening that has a family member struggling with addiction, call me. I got you. If you're broke, don't worry about it. I got you. You know, any kind of domestic violence. My second book is called Diary of an Abusive Relationship. You know, I help in that area too. If you're stuck in a domestic abuse relationship, or you know of somebody that's stuck in a domestic abuse relationship, or you are an abuser and you don't know how to stop and you need some help, yo, call me. I got you. You understand? If you're struggling with parenting, you know, one of your kids is going crazy, you don't know what to do, call me. I do that too. You know, there's a like there's a bunch of stuff. If you got somebody that's incarcerated, right, and they're going in and out. My first book is called Count Time: An Offender's Guide to Success, and it teaches people how to overcome, you know, the prison mentality, how to overcome it, so you don't ever got to go back. But it starts while you're incarcerated. 6 months prior to getting out, there's some certain steps that you have to take, so you never got to go back, right? You have to prepare yourself for getting out, right? But then after you get out, there's things you have to do 6 months after you go out, right, to help you become successful. But the family members, okay, have a responsibility to help that person the right way. I can help that person, the family members, figure out how do I help my son that's getting out so he doesn't have to go back. You understand? So I got a bunch of trades, man. And anybody want to call and need some help, just let me know.
Absolutely. That is what you're doing is so dope. So just for people, you know, so that way they know, like he said, he has a Facebook page, you know, David Marambo, MIRAMBEAUX. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I definitely know I'll definitely be reaching out to you because I have some things that I'm like, you know what? I definitely want to, you know, talk to you about and, you know, and get some help with. So I definitely will be, you know, reaching out to you about that. So, you know,
and Jackie has my email too, if anything, puppy.
All right. Perfect. You know what I mean? But Dave, man, I want to say,
but definitely send them a friend request.
Oh, absolutely.
Jeff, because it's so much easier to like, to stay connected via Facebook.
True. Absolutely. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. David, this is the first of many more podcasts that we're going to do. You know what I mean? Because I feel like we haven't even scratched the surface with you yet. Because I'm pretty sure you have a lot more things to talk about. So Jackie and I would definitely be hitting you up to do more podcast episodes. Now, I want to say thank you so much for taking the time out of your, you know, out of your night and you know, doing this podcast. It means a lot to me.
Thank you, Puppy, and thank you, Jackie, for letting me know, for connecting me with him. And you guys have an amazing night.
You too, man. Thank you.